Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So this is Canto 11, Chapter 12, Text 13. Mat,
me,
kama, those who desired, ramanam, a charming lover, jaram, the lover of another's wife, asvarupa vida, not knowing my actual situation. Avala, women, Brahma, the absolute, Mam, me, Paramam, supreme, Prapu, they achieved, Sangat, by association, Sata Sahasrashaha, by hundreds of thousands. Translation. All those hundreds of thousands of gopis, understanding me to be their most charming lover and ardently desiring me in that way, were unaware of my actual position. Yet, by intimately associating with me, the gopis attain me, the supreme absolute truth. Purport. The words, Aswarupa Vida, not understanding my actual position, or form, indicate that the lovely gopis were so completely absorbed in conjugal love for Lord Krishna that they were not aware of the Lord's unlimited potencies as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur explains this and other meanings of the word Aswarupa Vida. In Sanskrit, the word vid also means to acquire. Thus, Aswarupa Vida indicates that the gopis, like other pure devotees of the Lord, were not interested in achieving Sarupya Mukti, the liberation of acquiring a bodily form similar to the Lord's. For the gopis to obtain a bodily form like the Lord's, how could the Lord execute his conjugal pastimes of dancing with the gopis and embracing them? Since the gopis had realized their eternal spiritual forms as servitors of the Lord, the word Swarupa also may indicate their own spiritual bodies. And thus, Aswarupa Vida means that the gopis never thought, as materialists do, of their own bodily beauty. Although the gopis are the most beautiful girls in the Lord's creation, they never thought of their own bodies, but rather were always meditating on the transcendental body of Lord Krishna. Although we cannot imitate the gopis' exalted conjugal feelings, we can follow their superb example of practical Krishna consciousness. They naturally took shelter of Lord Krishna and achieved the highest perfection of life. All those hundreds of thousands of gopis, understanding me to be their most charming lover and ardently desiring me in that way, were unaware of my actual position. Yet, by intimately associating with me, the gopis attain me the supreme absolute truth. Om Jnana Dhanandasya Jnananjana Shakya Chakshuri Militam Mena Tasmai Shri Vema. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he actually, the name of the chapter in his commentary is the Association of Devotees. And here the title is Beyond Renunciation and Knowledge. And Krishna is glorifying the association of devotees to Uddhava as the highest form of yoga. And for most spiritualists, this is quite inconceivable because association of devotees is very unique to this path of bhakti. Krishna starts off explaining to Uddhava the difference between matter and spirit, very basic, using the 24 gurus of a dude Brahman. And then the conclusion is that material happiness is insignificant because it's temporary, it's not eternal. So it's insignificant. We shouldn't aspire for that. And then he describes the symptoms of who is liberated, who is not liberated. And then beyond liberation is the association of devotees. And Krishna tells Arjuna in the Gita, Sarva Dharmam Pratyaja, Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. And in the Uddhava Gita, Krishna illustrates the meaning of that by giving examples of the gopis of Vrindavan. And what does it mean to be fully surrendered? So the question may be raised, why is the association of devotees so important? It's actually in the Uddhava Gita you'll see, and it comes up again later on, that Krishna emphasizes the association of devotees as the most important sadhana. of the bhakti yogi? And the simple answer, we were just talking about this the other day, the simple answer is that for Krishna, what's the most important thing for Krishna? Relationships. If it wasn't for the relationships he had with his servants, with his children, with his friends, with his wives, with his lovers, with his parents, there would be no purpose to his existence. He wouldn't want to live. So the whole purpose that we are all here is so Krishna can have a relationship with us. So it makes sense, and the path of bhakti, the association of devotees, is the most, most important. So today is the disappearance of Haridas Thakur. And what more beautiful and perfect example that illustrates the association of devotees than the pastimes of Haridas Thakur and Lord Chaitanya. So for our purification, I'd like to tell a little bit of the story of how Haridas Thakur left the world. So, going back, of course, 500 years ago, more than 500 years ago, Lord Chaitanya, every day, especially for the last 18 years of his life on this planet, every day during the day, he would only do two things. He would engage in the congregational chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And go to the temple, Jagannath temple, and take darshan, Lord Jagannath. And during the night time, with his intimate associates, Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Rai, he would exchange the most intimate forms of love and glorify that love. Very confidential pastimes of Radha and Krishna he would discuss just with those two personalities. So that was his daily routine every day. So one day, Lord Chaitanya's servant Govinda, he very excitedly, he brought the prasad, bhoga prasad of Lord Jagannath hurriedly to Haridas Thakur. And when he went to see Haridas Thakur, Haridas was lying on his back and chanting very slowly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, kind of in a weak voice, chanting very slowly. And Govinda says, Haridas, Mahaprasad, Jagannath Mahaprasad. And Haridas says, today I will fast. But how can I refuse Jagannath Prasad? So he paid his obeisances and prayers and took a small portion of that prasad and honored it. The next day, Lord Chaitanya came. He took a bath in the sea, took darshan, and then he came to see Haridas. And he walks in and he sees Haridas and he says, very straightforwardly, he says, how are you? And Haridas says, my body is okay, but my mind and my intelligence is not okay. And then Lord Chaitanya says, can you ascertain which disease do you have? And Haridas says that my disease is that I'm not able to fulfill my daily quota of prescribed rounds every day, which we all know to be 192 rounds every day. So as soon as Lord Chaitanya heard that, he says, he says that, Haridas, you've done everything. You've preached the glories of the holy name. There's no need to be so strict with your regulative principles. Reduce the number of rounds that you're doing. This is my instruction to you. Please reduce your rounds. And Haridas says that in utmost humility, he says, I'm a mlecha, I'm a fallen, I'm a lowborn. And it's your independent will what happens. And by your will, Advaita Acharya offered me Shraddha Patra, which is the first, which is the offering of the forefathers. And, but I have this one desire. Please let me leave this world, because I understand that you're wrapping up your pastimes, and I cannot tolerate the thought of living in a world without you. So, my appeal to you, I beg you, my Lord, that allow me to leave this world before you wrap up your pastimes. That is my one desire. I want to drink the beauty of your moon-like face and place your lotus feet on my heart and leave my body chanting the holy names, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Please grant me this one desire. And Lord Chaitanya says, of course, Krishna will, any desire you have, Krishna will. He will fulfill the desire. But my only happiness is in your association. So it's not fit for you to leave. How can you leave like this? And Haridas, in utmost humility, pouring of his heart, he said, with utmost sincerity, he says that there are millions upon millions of your devotees that are fit to sit on my head. And that I am like an ant, I'm like an insect. If a mosquito goes away or an ant dies, who even notices? Who even cares? Why are you joking with me, Lord Chaitanya? Gauranga. Please, I beg you, please grant me your mercy. So Lord Chaitanya, it was time for his noontime activities. He went to bathe in the sea. But this acharyas explain the importance of humility in this path of devotion. Because humility is really just the awareness of our own emptiness. We're empty. Just like Srila Prabhupada will always say that when we chant, we have to be like a baby crying for its mother. Why is he crying? Because he's empty, he's starving, he's incomplete. So this emptiness is feeling this desire of the bhakta to become a beggar. That I'm begging for mercy. What is that mercy? I'm begging Krishna, please love me. Krishna, please help me. Krishna, please give me your shelter. So somebody might ask the question that, isn't that selfish? Aren't you selfish when you're asking Krishna to love me? Isn't that selfish? But it's not selfish. Because Krishna is dying for us to accept his love. And by accepting his love, it brings unlimited pleasure to Krishna. Krishna derives unlimited bliss when we receive his mercy, when we accept his love. And of course, our only pleasure is Krishna's pleasure. So this is really profound, that by taking shelter from Krishna, we're actually getting a sense of belonging, that we belong to you, Krishna. We're getting that sense of belonging. We're taking shelter. And by taking shelter, we're actually performing in the highest form of love, which is saying, I am yours. I am your property. This is the highest form of love, that I am your property to do with as you like. It's like a full circle. We take Ganga water and we offer back to the Ganga. It's the inconceivable nature of love. So Lord Chaitanya, he came back the next morning, but this time he was really rushing to see Haridas. He was just so anxious to see Haridas Thakur. He took bath, took darshan of Lord Jagannath, and he was running with all his associates to come see Haridas Thakur. And they all surrounded Haridas. And Lord Chaitanya, he says to Haridas, "So, what's the news? What's the news?" And Haridas Thakur, begging, says, "Whatever mercy you can give me, whatever mercy you can give me. Just as a beggar." So Lord Chaitanya, without saying a word, he starts a tumultuous kirtan. Everybody's chanting all their hearts in loving ecstasy, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And Lord Chaitanya ends the kirtan. And after the kirtan is over, everybody's huddling around Haridas Thakur. And Lord Chaitanya starts to glorify Haridas. And he's glorifying Haridas. He just can't contain himself. He's glorifying, 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 glorifying. And the more he's glorifying Haridas Thakur, the more happiness he's experiencing, the more happiness. He was just in bliss. He just couldn't stop glorifying. Krishnadas Kaviraj says that he was glorifying him as if he had five mouths. Glorifying him and glorifying him. And the associates of Lord Chaitanya were just stunned. They were shocked. They've never heard such glorification before. And they immediately, just spontaneously, just reciprocating with Lord Chaitanya's love for his devotee, they gave their full prostrated obeisances to Haridas Thakur. And this is another such an important lesson on the path of bhakti, is that through the lens of love, we see Krishna. We see Krishna everywhere. Krishna says, "Yo mam pashyati sarvatra." He says, the devotee sees me everywhere. Not in 99% or 95%. The devotee sees Krishna everywhere. Krishna is the all-perfect object of our love. He is perfection personified. And his creation is perfect in every way. So the devotee sees everything as perfect in every way. Every spiritual spark of Krishna, each part and parcel of Krishna, is perfect in every way. It's a divine spark of Krishna. And Krishna's energy, his maya potency, his material worlds, even this gross matter, the mind, intelligence, false ego, Krishna says in the Gita, Daivi Hyesha Gunamayi, that this divine energy of mine, this material energy, everything is perfect. So, what is the acharya? What is he chastising the disciple for? Why does he say, rectify yourself? Why does he say that? Because the fault is in the relationship that we have with matter. It's the choices we make that's faulty. We have two choices. Either we walk towards Krishna, or we walk away from Krishna. So the acharya, he's rectifying that choice that we're taking. We have the independent free will. And he can't tolerate the suffering of living entities. So he doesn't say that you're defective. or that you're faulty, or that you're evil. No. The Acharya says that, please, please walk towards Krishna. You are perfect in every way, but please walk towards Krishna. So Lord Haridas Thakur, he sits Lord Chaitanya in front of him. And of course, Lord Chaitanya is totally controlled by the love of his devotee, Haridas Thakur. So Lord Chaitanya sits right in front of Haridas Thakur. And Haridas Thakur takes Lord Chaitanya's feet, just according to his desire, puts it on his heart, drinking the nectar of Lord Chaitanya's beautiful moon-like face, tears streaming down his face, taking the dust of all the devotees' lotus feet and placing it on his head, and repeatedly chanting, Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Shri Krishna, Chaitanya. And in this way, Haridas Thakur, he left this mortal world in that most glorious way. And as soon as Haridas Thakur left, there was tumultuous kirtan. Lord Chaitanya started immediately. And it was resounding throughout the whole universe, just echoing this unbelievable kirtan. You can't even imagine this kirtan. Chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And he kept on, the kirtan kept on going and going and going and going. And finally, Swarup Damodar, very humbly, he approaches, Lord Chaitanya, please, Gauranga, there are some formalities required for the passing away of your devotee. There are some rituals that are needed. Begging Lord Chaitanya to be able to complete this process. So Lord Chaitanya, he stops the kirtan. They place Haridas Thakur's body in a beautiful palanquin, resembling like one of the heavenly airships. And they had a procession. They brought Haridas Thakur's body to the ocean. And in front of this procession, Lord Chaitanya again started the congregational chanting of the holy names. And all of his associates were right behind Lord Chaitanya, just chanting and chanting and chanting and dancing and dancing and dancing and dancing. Rakeshwar Pandit was dancing. He was a lead dancer. When they got to the sea, Lord Chaitanya personally took Haridas Thakur's body and bathed his body in the sea. And all of the devotees surrounded the body of Haridas Thakur. And Lord Chaitanya proclaimed that for all time to come, this sea is a site of pilgrimage because it has touched the body of Haridas Thakur. And all the devotees, they gathered around Haridas Thakur as he was being bathed in the sea. And they started drinking the water that touched the lotus feet of Haridas Thakur. And Lord Chaitanya had a hole dug in the sand, Haridas Thakur's body was smeared with sandalwood pulp. The remnants of Lord Jagannath was placed in the sand, in the hole in the ground. They placed Jagannath Prasad, the old silken ropes of Jagannath's Rath Yatra cart were placed in there. Jagannath Bhoga Prasad was placed in the tomb. Lord Chaitanya personally took sand and put it on Lord Haridas Thakur's body, as well as all the associates. They built a beautiful platform over Haridas Thakur's samadhi. They built a fence around. And they had another amazing kirtan. And then, chanting and dancing around the Samadhi of Haridas Thakur. And then all the associates, they went to the ocean and they started swimming. And they started playing. And they started having fun. And they were just totally in bliss, just playing in the ocean. And after that, they again circumambulated the tomb of Haridas Thakur. And they went to the Simhadwar gate and they took darshan of Lord Jagannath. And then Lord Chaitanya personally took his top cloth and started to beg the shopkeepers that please give us some foodstuffs because we're celebrating the disappearance of Haridas Thakur. And he was begging with his cloth to all the shopkeepers. And the shopkeepers were just inundated, you know, by Lord Chaitanya's humility and love. They immediately brought out buckets and pots of this prasadam, like so much prasadam that was just like, oh my god, what is happening here? So Sri Damodar says, okay, stop. And Sri Damodar says, okay, Lord Chaitanya, you go back to your room. You guys go back to your shops. Lord Chaitanya, we're gonna take care of this. And so Lord Chaitanya put his cloth down and went back to his residence. And Swarup Damodar arranged for four servants to get four palmfuls of each preparation from each shop. And these four servants carried all of these pots and pots and pots of prasadam to where the devotees were sitting. And Lord Chaitanya, he was personally serving. Of course, it was a little bit problematic because Lord Chaitanya was personally serving. To each person, he was giving them five times more than they could actually eat. And he kept on giving to each person. Everyone was like, whoa, I don't know if I can handle this. And so again, they had to stop Lord Chaitanya. He said, Gauranga, Prabhu, Mahaprabhu, please, you just sit and watch us. We'll take care of this, you know, please sit down. So Lord Chaitanya sat down, and then he couldn't help himself, and then he just directed the servants, okay, more, give more. He just kept on saying, give more. But then nobody would even eat a bite of prasad, because Lord Chaitanya was sitting there, you know, directing the servers and making them eat. But no one could take any prasad, because Lord Chaitanya wasn't eating. So they begged Gauranga, please, you know, take prasad. So Gauranga, Mahaprabhu started honoring prasad. And then, while he was taking prasad, and he was sitting at the devotee seat, he was in his own ecstasy, he couldn't help himself. He said, eat more, he kept just saying, eat more, while he was eating himself. And Krishna Das Kaviraj explains that the devotees ate so much, they were up to their necks in prasad, and they just literally couldn't eat another bite. They would literally explode if they had another bite. So the devotees, they washed their hands, washed their mouths, all the devotees. And, of course, everybody can't take their eyes off of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya personally, this is inconceivable. Lord Chaitanya personally went to every single devotee and decorated their faces with sandalwood pulp and garlanded every single devotee with his own hands. That love without service is utterly meaningless. That love is service. And that service attitude starts with the desire. What do you want in life? Do you want devotees to be happy? Do you want Krishna to be happy? Do you want Gurudev to be happy? If that is the only thing you want, then when Krishna is happy, when Gurudev is happy, When the devotees are happy, you're indebted to them. Just like, if let's say you really want a Rolex watch, and you give me a Rolex watch, I'm indebted to you for the Rolex watch. Right? For whatever the cost is. So, if you only want Krishna's happiness, you only want Gurudev's happiness, you only want the Vaishnavas to be happy, and they are happy, they're giving you what you want. Right? So you're grateful. You're indebted to the devotees for their happiness. And that indebtedness means you're grateful and you want to serve to try to repay that debt you have. And then when you try to repay that debt, the devotees just get more pleased, and Krishna gets more pleased, and you become even more indebted. And then you're more grateful, and then you want to serve more so you can repay that debt. And then they're pleased, they're more happy, and then you're more indebted, and you're more indebted, and you're more indebted. And material consciousness, we're happy when we can clear our debts. Right? Have you ever met anyone that was so happy that they had like $1 million of credit card debt or $1 million mortgage? I mean, no one is happy to have debt. But in spiritual consciousness, we're happier the more debt we have. We're constantly increasing that debt. And the more we can be indebted, the happier we become. Because the more we want to serve the devotees. So Lord Chaitanya, he proclaimed this benediction that whoever saw this festival of Haridas Thakur leaving this world, whoever chanted, participated in this kirtan, whoever bathed Haridas Thakur's body, whoever put sand on his body, whoever took prasad, anybody who's affiliated with this festival, very soon will achieve the transcendental favor of Krishna. And he said this passing away of Haridas Thakur, it's not an ordinary passing away. It's like Bhishma Dev. By his own sweet will, by his own independent will, Haridas Thakur decided to leave this material world. So Lord Chaitanya begged all the associates, please, please, please chant. Haridas Thakur ki. Haridas Thakur ki. Haridas Thakur ki. Begging, please, please, chant the holy names of Hari. Chant the holy names of Hari. Hari bol. Hari bol. Hari bol. And in a mood of mixed with sadness and happiness, Lord Chaitanya completed this pastime of Haridas Thakur's disappearance festival. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Ram. Hare Ram. Anyone like to say anything? Hare Krishna.
Very well, Prabhu. Very nice. So, I have a comment and a question. Maybe I'll do the comment first and then the question. You're speaking about service, and I notice every time we have like a feast, we have like hundreds and thousands of devotees sometimes. And at the end, I would go in the kitchen and take a look, and there was one devotee struggling with all the wheels. And sometimes I would try to go around and ask devotees to assist, and everyone has an excuse. Sometimes it bothers the mind, you know. That's my comment there. And my question is, Haridas Thakur was Lord Brahma?
Yes. The question is, was Haridas Thakur Lord Brahma?
So when Haridas was on the earthly planet, who was substituting for him?
I have a question. The online viewers hear this mic too?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I don't need to repeat the question. So who replaced Lord Brahma when he came as Haridas Thakur? I don't know. Does anyone know?
Usually from my understanding is that a portion, you know, like for example during the pastimes of Krishna, like a portion of the demigods came to assist him. So maybe it's not just a portion of Brahma came. I mean, I can't comprehend how that happens, but but that seems the more likely scenario there.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Prabhu, that was a wonderful class. Thank you very much. I also have a very brief comment and also the question. Right at the end, you talked about being feeling grateful and indebted to Srila Prabhupada, which hopefully we all see how much we are indebted to him. Anything we know about Krishna all came from him. Anyway, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So one time Srila Prabhupada said that actually you all owe a very great debt to the spiritual master for all that he has given, which means everything. Like on Prabhupada's appearance there, I kind of spoke about that, how much she gave him. So he gave a great debt to the spiritual master. He says, and if you want to repay that debt, then preach vigorously as I have. So that's my comment, and you're welcome to expand on it if you like. But I also have a question to take whichever one you want. Srila Prabhupada taught us that don't imitate an acharya, follow in footsteps. So today, Srila Haridas Thakur, how can devotees of today we follow in his footsteps? So speak about both, one, or whatever you want.
Wow. Would anyone else like to answer that question?
You answer. Your class was so nice, please.
I know you know. So in my experience, and my inspiration to follow in the footsteps of great devotees is like you said, trying to do what they do, of course not to that degree, but try to do what they do, because they wouldn't be doing it if it wasn't the right thing to do. And also, they wouldn't be doing it if it wasn't pleasing to Krishna. So, by doing it, you're pleasing not only Krishna, but you're pleasing the spiritual master also. But just with the consciousness that, you know, we're just a speck, that we're just trying our best, and we're not the doer. That if we think we're the doer, that's major Maya. But all we can take credit for is our desire, purify our desire to follow in the footsteps of the great souls and act on that desire and beg for mercy, beg for empowerment, and you really want to please the spiritual master. That's really important. We're not serving to become gurus and powerful leaders and managers or you know, we're not serving for that purpose. Our only purpose is to please the spiritual master. So that's my inspiration. Please, anyone else, please offer your wisdom.
I guess I have the microphone. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for so inspiring. Thinking I heard Asta Kaur. And nice question about how do we follow in the footsteps of Lord Acharya's without imitating, I believe was the question. And obviously we don't imitate because we don't have the power, we don't have the realization, we don't have the special position of someone like Haridas Thakur, and never were we expected to chant 300,000 names a day in 192 hours. Most of us probably could not do it, and even if we could do it, that's all we would do. I mean, there wouldn't be any other service in our life. But, as you were saying, the Acharyas do give us the example. They set the bar very high. And Acharya means one who sets, who by his own example shows how to serve Krishna. So I think what we are meant to do is understand the mood of these great devotees. What is the mood of Haridas Thakur? When totally absorbed in the holy name, Namacharya. So that is what, that's what we learn from him. We learn that one is totally absorbed in the holy name, and also very strong, a strong example of preaching the holy name. And so many things that we can learn from these Acharyas. And I think that our mood towards him is one of more aspirational. In other words, this is the highest standard. You know, we may or may not ever achieve that standard, but we need to have those examples. We need, as fallen conditioned souls, to have those highest standards, Srila Prabhupada, Haridas Thakur, of what a pure devotee is, how they act, what they do, what is their mood. And then we can aspire a little bit to be in that mood, even if we cannot achieve the quantity of service that they do.
I really love that answer of just the one thing to take from the spiritual master is the mood. I love that answer. Thank you so much.
I'd like to just suggest a couple of ways that we can follow in Haridas Thakur's footsteps. And then if others want to suggest other ways, I would say that he always completed his vow. He had a vow to chant the 300,000 names a day, and he did it without fail. No matter how long it took him, all day, all night, he completed it. So we're not going to chance that minute, as Prabhu said, but, you know, we also have a vow to Srila Prabhupada or to our own guru, Diksha Guru. And so that's one way. And as Mother Shukra pointed out in her offering to Prabhupada, this chanting of the holy name is the most important thing that we do to become fit for service. And if we look at these pictures above our heads, every single one of them has his hand in a bead bag around beads, and Srila Prabhupada always did too. So that's one thing, and I have another in mind. Does anyone else want to toss in anything?
Hare Sankirtan Ki.
You mentioned that love means service. After seeing the Hare Krishna film, I deliberately, after a few days, I went to many of the young devotees and asked how they had an impact on them. And one response was quite stunning.
Wow.
A young girl, she said, "I realized by seeing Prabhupada that love means service, and service means sacrifice." Pretty profound.
Wow.
Of course, other comments were, "I was inspired to more seriously take up this chanting and preaching."
Wow, that's beautiful. I was actually thinking about that yesterday, about how the connection between service and sacrifice, it's actually, to serve means to sacrifice, definitely.
Can I say one thing?
Mataji,
in relation to her question, because okay. Really this is what
Okay, I just have a short question. You were on a different topic. You were speaking earlier about how spiritually we are all perfect and it's the decisions we make that are imperfect. And I had a question on that. So it is a truism that the material world is a place of suffering. So what is the devotee's approach to suffering, whether we are directly contributing to those imperfect decisions, you know, or not, they will still come at us because this is the material world. So in our path to better our relationship with the Lord, what is our approach to suffering when it comes to us, whether we directly contribute to it or whether it comes unexpectedly?
Thank you very much. That'd be a nice question. So suffering, pain doesn't have to be suffering. Suffering is the state of the Atma, but pain is on the external surface, on our body, and our maybe our mind and our ego, but pain doesn't actually touch the soul. And so we actually can consciously decide if we want to suffer or not suffer. Somebody actually mentioned that in a class before, that we can choose to whether to suffer or not to suffer. We may not have a choice to experience pain or pleasure, but we can consciously decide if we want to suffer. And simply, what is the greatest suffering? Suffering is forgetfulness of Krishna. When we think we're alone, that Krishna is not our ultimate shelter, that is suffering. When we think that we're going to be orphans, that nobody cares for me, nobody loves me, that's where fear comes from. Suffering is fear, and fear is darkness. And darkness is when we turn our heads away from Krishna. So no matter what happens in life, if we are always facing Krishna, our bodies may become mutilated, our false egos may be humiliated, our senses are maybe deprived, but if we don't have fear, we won't suffer. And the way to associate with Krishna is by chanting the holy names with sincerity, with humility. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. And the other comment I thought of is, when we do encounter these challenges in life, we can consciously decide if we're going to use this as an opportunity to come closer to Krishna, or to doubt Krishna's love for us and to, you know, go further away from Krishna. And Krishna, he puts us in difficult situations for our benefit. It's actually his love. And he wants us to call out to him. He wants us to reach out for his mercy, for his love, because what Krishna can give us is inconceivably greater than what we can ever find in this material world. That was just a couple of thoughts that I had. Would anyone else like to answer?
Wonderful answer, thank you.
Can I just, yeah, I was just thinking that if we minimize offenses too, that's
so I just wanted to say, should I end the class and then we can talk after? Is that what we should do?
Yeah, let me finish this.
Okay, yeah. Sorry, I just saw the word is getting up, so.
That's okay.
Okay.
So, if we minimize offenses, that helps also in our, you know, offenses and breaking principles and things. That helps to minimize our suffering also.
Yes, yeah, avoiding offenses is very important. Thank you. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
I'm going to make one just kind of